In the African American tradition, the pastor says, "God is good," and the people respond, "All the time." And the pastor says, "All the time," and the people respond, "God is good." Let's try that. God is good.
All the time.
All the time.
God is good.
Amen. Amen and amen. It is good to be with you today. It's such a privilege for me to be in this place because it was a call to this congregation 25 years ago that brought me from Orlando, where it is hot and no breeze and no ocean, but wonderful people and wonderful churches, to New Smyrna Beach. And Bill Chegwin, speaking for God, I think, how many years, Bill? About 10 years? Kept saying, "Bev, will you come over and work with the youth in New Smyrna Beach?" I said, "When I retire, I have children in school. You can't move kids from school." And Bill would say, "Bev, we still need someone to work with our youth. And will you come over, you know, and help us?" And I kept saying, "Well, I wish I could, but," you know how we do that, "but." And Bill was persistent. And lo and behold, through the circumstances of my father's death, who sang in the choir here, and my mom was here by herself, and she didn't drive. And we were called. The call was still there. And I looked at my dear husband, and I said, "Rod, maybe God is calling us to New Smyrna Beach." And he said, "Well, Bev, I drive to Maitland every day or to Orlando to be at the beach every day instead of three times a year." My children said, "Mom, we don't care where we go to school. We can go to school in New Smyrna Beach." And so, lo and behold, there I came. And the door was opened so widely that the neighbor across the street who is a member of our church, Dan Reynolds, he's up visiting family. That's why he's not here today. Right across from my mother's house, puts out a sign and says, "House for rent." A two-bedroom house. They were repainting it for rent. And I said, "Well, why don't we go see if we can get that until we can find something larger and come?" He was renting it for $450 a month, and we were paying $500 a month to spend a week just five houses down. And they opened their home to our family. Little did we know that they were Presbyterian and that our friendship would grow, and it's now over 25 years old. God speaks to us in many ways. And if we listen, and I'm sometimes hard of hearing. Now I'm literally hard of hearing in some ways, but seriously, I have been hard of hearing God's call. And yet he continues to speak and doesn't give up. So I am blessed, and it is good to be with you today. I'd like to ask you, how does God speak to you? How does God speak? He speaks through, as I said to the children, through the Word. When we read Scripture, we can understand and we can hear God's voice. I had a seminary professor who said, if you want to know the texture of God, who God is, you have to read the text. You have to read the text. You have to read the Word of God, the Bible, which is given to us as a gift, in order to know who God is. The pastor doesn't know, the priest doesn't know fully. God reveals himself to you individually in reading his word. It is a living word, that's why we call it the living word. But how else does God speak to us that we might listen? Anyone? Pardon?
Through his creation.
Can you say more about that?
The trees, the birds, the animals, the people.
And the water. You know, walking here on the beach, I can't tell you how many times after a long day, I was a hospice chaplain for 22 years, and after a day of working with people and walking with them, many of them were great faith, people of faith that have taught me much, a walk on the beach and to see the power of God in the ocean and the change and yet the consistency, God was speaking loud and clear. And my ears are attuned to that, and I come to that through nature. That's true. How else does God speak to us?
With a still, small voice.
With a still, small voice.
I hear my name sometimes, and there's nobody around. And I listen.
And you listen.
And it's just like, because sometimes he has to give you a head slap to get your attention, but it's usually that still small voice, and usually in the evening, at night, when everything is quiet, you can hear.
You can hear that voice. We sing many songs about the voice. The song I was thinking of was In the Garden. You know, he walks with me and he talks with me, and he tells me that I am his own. Carolyn.
He speaks to us by our spiritually strong and mature brothers and sisters. And other messengers that he will bring into our lives, even if we don't even know them. I found so many of them this weekend and week at the summit. And he also speaks to us through children, our children sometimes, who seem to be wiser than we are in the moment because they're not so distracted by the world.
That's right. Our children are not so distracted by the world, and they speak to us also, but by spiritually mature people. I have to tell you that, and I did ask Carolyn if it was okay that I do this. Our husbands had a little trouble getting the message back and forth. They're not very good secretaries, but they're good men, right? And she said I had permission. Carolyn came to me and shared with me very briefly and a story, and she kept saying, listen and love. And it came to me, listen and love. And I said to her, Carolyn, I said, if I get the opportunity to preach again, I said, that will make a good sermon. And she, I think, was speaking, God was speaking through her and gave us the title for today's sermon, to speak, to listen and to love.
The words I kept hearing in my situation.
And those are the words that God put into her situation, to listen and to love. That's beautiful. Any other ways that God speaks to us?
Prayer.
Pardon? Through prayer? You want to say a little more about that?
It's an opportunity for us to connect with him and not just ask for things, but to pray for others and all the things that we need. And this is a time when we would say things that would be for someone else rather than just for ourselves.
Just for ourselves. Through prayer. And when we learn to pray, we know that it's not just talking to Santa Claus and asking for things, but it is a time of building a relationship, of trusting God. And yes, thank you. Prayer is so important, and to take time to do that. Yes.
When I pray, I listen to my heart, and it goes to my head that I have to do things right away, and it works. I don't know why it goes. But
that's right. When you pray, it goes to your heart, and then it goes to her head, and then she has to do it. It's doing just fine. It works that way.
Yes.
That's right, that way. That's why I think we're told many times to take time to pray. It's a gift that we have, and when we don't use it, we get so busy. It takes away that blessing that God wants to give to us. Our scripture from the New Testament comes from Paul, and Paul was very much out there doing what he thought he was called to do by his religious duty, and that was to persecute Christians and to understand, to live by the things he was taught, to honor God according to the Old Testament, at least his understanding of it. And yet he had an experience, a circumstance that changed his life, and he began to know the importance of listening to God and then to speaking his truth to others, and what it is that we should give to God and how we should live. So I invite you, if you'd like, to turn with me to our lesson in the epistle of Romans. It's on page 1763, Romans 12, 1 through 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed any longer to the patterns of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance to the measure of faith God has given you. Just as each of us has one body with many members, these members do not have the same function. So in Christ, we who are many have one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophecy, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing, to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do so cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, and keep your spiritual fervor of serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need, and practice hospitality. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, thank you all for helping me to remember and encouraging me to listen to God's word and to know where God is speaking. God speaks to us, as we say, in many, many different ways. And I do believe that the word of God, that this Bible, is probably the strongest way in which we can truly know how to interpret what is going on in the world. I know people say, you know, God called me to get a lot of money, you know, and therefore I'm going to do, well, you know, we may receive money and God is abundant, but it isn't just financial. It's not of the world. God calls us to be open to whatever circumstances we find ourselves, to know that we're not alone, that he is with us. When I was doing youth ministry and very active with my children, four children, and active in the community, I was also the volunteer youth advisor at a Presbyterian church in which my brother was in high school and went to. Well, when he graduated, he knew God was calling him to ministry. He's one of those fortunate people that doesn't have to search their way and take so long. He knew, and he had the gift of preaching. He was given the opportunity as a young person to lead worship with the youth group. And when he preached, the people of the congregation said to the pastor, "Why don't you take more vacations and let that young man preach?" He really is very gifted, and he is a pastor now up in New Jersey, Jersey City, at the Old Bergen Presbyterian Church. Well, John went away to Montreat College, and while he was there, had a spiritual experience and came to know the Lord in a really deep way and the importance of time in devotion and in prayer. And he came back and he went to the pastor, not to his big sister, but to the pastor and said, "You know, Bev really shouldn't be the advisor of the youth anymore unless she's going to take time to worship and prayer time. You know, she doesn't do that." And he said to the pastor, he might have said it nicer than that, but that's what the pastor told me. And he said, "But I defended you." I said, "You know, Bev's got children and many things to do. She didn't have time for that. You're a student. You're free. You take all the time that you can to be with the Lord." Well, I don't think the pastor needed to defend me. The pastor needed to hear what my brother said and encourage me to spend time with the Lord every day. And in this church, I'm so delighted that so many of you have shared with one another the importance of a devotional time. And one of the books that was given to me is Jesus Calling, How to Be Called into the Presence. How many of you are using this as a devotion? Wow. It is an excellent book, and I'm on my fourth year using it. You can see it's kind of tethered. But just listen to what each morning we spend time and look at what God has to say. And so I actually got up this morning and read this before coming here. It's the 15th of July. And it says, "Do not worry about tomorrow. This is not a suggestion, but a command. I divided time into days and nights so that you would be able to have manageable portions of life to handle. My grace is sufficient for you, but its sufficiency is only one day at a time. When you worry about the future, you heap day upon day of troubles into your flimsy frame. You stagger under the heavy load which I never intended you to carry. Throw off the opposition burdens with one quick thirst of trust. Anxious thoughts meander about and crisscross in your brain, but trusting me brings you directly into my presence. My eyes are a little blurry there, affirm your faith, shackles of worry fall off instantly. Enjoy my presence continually by trusting me all of the time. Some days I pick up this book and it's exactly where I am on my journey and encourages me. And then there are scriptures that affirm what is said here. Or I should say scriptures that inspired what is said here. It's a wonderful devotion. There are other ones. These days are daily bread. Other devotionals that guide us day by day. Henry Nouwen, who's a wonderful author, has many books about slowing down and listening and being with God, says this on March 11th, and this one too I've had for many years. As you can see, its pages are yellowing and it's beginning to come apart in places. It says, listening as spiritual hospitality. To listen is very hard because it asks us to do much more. It asks of us much interior stability that we no longer need to prove ourselves by speeches, arguments, statements, or declarations. True listeners no longer have an inner need to make their presence known. They are free to receive and to welcome and to accept others. Listening is much more than allowing another to talk while wanting a chance to respond. Listening is paying full attention to others and welcoming them into your very being. The beauty of listening is that those who are listened to start feeling accepted, start taking their words more seriously, and discovering their true selves. Listening is a form of spiritual hospitality by which you invite strangers to become friends, to get to know their inner selves more fully, and even to dare to be silent with you. Henry Nouwen was a man who wrote a book about the wounded healer and speaks about us accepting our own challenges and woundedness as gifts from God, that he will see us through, that along life's journey, we may be of encouragement to others. Listening is very difficult. In our culture, we want to talk, and we think that as people that give great speeches and people that can move us in that way perhaps are on a higher plane. But the person that is there to help us the most is the one who truly knows how to listen. My children would say to me sometimes, just listen to me. And I was busy wanting to give them instructions so that they do the right thing. And I had to step back a bit and learn that listening is hearing what they're saying, not only with their words, but with their body, that with their emotion, and putting that together. And then saying it back to them to see if I got it right. That's what prayer is. Thank you so much for mentioning prayer as a way God speaks to us. Because when we learn to listen to God, we can talk back and see if we're getting it right, and God will correct us. As it said in the psalm, I will instruct you and counsel you in the way that you will go. Listening is one of the greatest gifts that God has given to us. My mother used to say we had two ears and one mouth. It means that we should listen at least twice as much in what we speak. So by listening, we honor God, and we honor one another. This week, I'm excited and thankful that a group of young people from New Smyrna and from DeLand had the opportunity to go to a Young Life camp. It's a new ministry that is coming new again to this area. That's what called me to this church 25 years ago, and for 5 years, we were the leading church in providing leadership and a place for young people to meet, to build a relationship with Christ, and then to come and find a church home where they could continually grow. When a young person makes a commitment to Christ and decides they want to be on the journey with him, a little book is given to him. It's called The Journey, and the New Testament and Proverbs are included with that. And Jim Rayburn, who was the founder, a Presbyterian minister at the Youth Ministry of Young Life, said this: "Jesus did something tremendous for me, so much that when I think of it, teardrops start, so much that I'll never be able to thank him enough, so much that it wouldn't make any difference if I never had another happy moment. If I could just please him, honor him, and show him how thankful I am. He suffered for me and the just and the unjust to free me from the curse of death and to give me new life." Today, our message is about listening to God and loving. Loving God first with all our heart, mind, and soul, as it says in Deuteronomy, and then to love others as God loves us. Our message from the epistle is a message of instruction to us. How do we, as a body of Christ, as the church, respond to God's love and to his word? And so Eugene Peterson, another wonderful theologian, wrote an interpretation of the New Testament in the book called The Message. How many of you are familiar with that? It kind of puts it into common language. And so I want to close with these words. "So hear what I want you to do, God helping you. Take every ordinary life, your sleeping, eating, going to work, walking around, and place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for him. Don't become so well-adjusted in your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God and you'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you and develops well-formed maturity in you. I'm speaking to you out of deep gratitude for all God has given me, and especially as I have responsibility and relationship to you. Living then in every one of you does a pure grace, it's important that you do not misinterpret yourself as people who are bringing this goodness to God. No, God brings it all to you. The only accurate way to understand ourselves is by what God is and by what God does for us, not what we are and what we do for him. This is the way we are like the various parts of a human body. Each part does get meaning from the body as the whole, not the other way around. The body we're talking about is the church, Christ's body, chosen people. Each of us finds our meaning and functions as a part of his body. But as chopped off fingers or toes, it wouldn't amount to much, would we? Or since we find ourselves fashioned into these excellent formed and functions and parts of Christ's body, let us just go ahead and be what we are made to be without being envious or prideful or comparing ourselves to each other or trying to be something that we're not. If you preach, just preach God's message, nothing else. If you help, just help. Don't take it over. If you teach, stick to your teachings. If you encourage guidance, be careful that you don't get too bossy. If you're put in charge, don't manipulate. If you're called to give aid to people in distress, keep your eyes open and be quick to response. If you work with a disadvantage, don't let yourself be irritated with them or depressed by them. Keep a smile on your face. Love from the center of who you are and don't fake it. Run for dear life from evil and hold on to the dear good. Be good friends who love deeply and practice playing second fiddle. Don't burn out. Keep yourself fueled and aflame. Be an alert servant of the Master, cheerfully expecting. Don't quit when hard times come. Pray all the harder. Help the needy Christians. Be inventive in hospitality. Bless your enemies and don't curse them. Laugh with your happy friends when they're happy. Share a tear with them when they're down. Get along with each other and don't be stuck up. Make friends with the nobodies. Don't be some great somebody. Don't hit back or discover beauty. Don't hit back. Discover beauty in everyone. And if you've got it, get along with everyone. Don't insist on getting even. That's not for you to do. I'll do the judging, says God. I'll take care of it. Our scripture tells us that if you see your enemy hungry, go and buy that person a lunch. Or thirsty, get him a drink. Your generosity will surprise him with goodness. Don't let evil get the best of you. Get the best of evil by doing good. Listen to our Lord through his word, through the circumstances of your life, through nature, through listening to mature friends in faith. Check it out with scripture always. And love God with all your heart, your mind, and soul. And love one another as God has loved you. Amen and amen.